Mystic Michaela Spiritual Family. Welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela. Today, we are talking about how narcissists sever your connection with spirit. Then we're going to talk about a really disturbing case that has been in social media. It's been all over the news. It's about a YouTube mom influencer being charged with 6 counts of felony for child abuse. And we're going to relate that back to narcissism. I mean, it's dark. I don't even want to say her name. But first, hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. Well, that sounds very uplifting.
Yeah.
I would have just said, all right, done.
I couldn't say her name. I couldn't do it. I can't say her name.
Yeah, all right. We won't even say her name.
I can't even do it.
Yeah, well, yeah, all right. Well, speaking of narcissists.
Yes.
I don't think I'm a narcissist. I probably have narcissistic tendencies.
I think everybody does.
Like most people probably do.
Yeah.
But I feel this time of year, if I was going to be a narcissist or have narcissistic tendencies, this is the time of year where I have it the most.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why.
Tell us why.
Let me just tell you about myself.
All right. Okay.
So there's this thing that happens every time around this time of year.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not the pumpkin spice latte comes out at Starbucks. That I already did that.
Right.
It's something else. It's something bigger. And I don't know when it's going to hit. You don't know what time of day.
Right.
You don't know what day. But it is going to hit.
It's an annual event.
And it's every single year it has happened. I'm not going to say how many years it's happened for. So it happened the other day to me.
Okay.
We're at dinner.
Yeah.
A nice dinner, tacos, one of our favorite meals that you make.
Yes.
And I sit down, I make my tacos.
Very fancy dinner.
Yes, very fancy. You know, and I have a whole thing when I make my tacos, which kind of sometimes annoys people. I have to, you know, put all the toppings on the right way and the cheese and all that, whatever. So I finally sit down, get settled. And I'm about to eat, you know, I eat the taco and I take the first bite and I start like coughing, like, you know, like that.
Yeah.
I just annoyed some people right there even. And, you know, because I put a little too much spice on the taco.
It's the least spiciest taco you'll ever eat.
No.
You're always like, spicy.
Yeah.
So, like you say that like every 10 seconds, like, spicy.
Right.
It's spicy.
Okay. Is that what I do?
Every 10 seconds.
Okay, fine.
Like, it's spicy.
So I took another bite, and again, I started coughing again, and, you know, now I get up, and I don't know why, now I start getting the hiccups, whatever.
You have, like, taco ADD or something.
Yeah, and, you know, no one's saying anything.
No,
but
we're all just watching you.
I see the three of you.
Yeah.
I see, you know, Bree's face. I see you, like, looking shyly away. I see Abby.
None of us did anything. We were just sitting there eating our tacos like normal people, quietly watching the theatrics in front of us.
Right. And I keep saying sorry and like over and over again, I apologize.
Yeah, but we're like, we're not saying anything. And once again, we've talked about this in the family.
Sure.
Just because you know what we're all thinking doesn't mean you can get mad at us for it.
Okay. Well, and then.
You know that.
That leads to like other things. And then I start getting, you know, like upset that you guys, you know, like, the way I do everything around the house, like all my noises. And
it just really piled on you.
Yeah, creaking when I come down the stairs or whatever noise I make in the morning, you know, when I get up. And, you know, that, and I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Is, you know, because you guys weren't outright, you know, mocking me.
We weren't at all.
In your mind, you were.
Fine. But we weren't at all saying anything.
And
we were observing.
And then it hit me what had begun. Yeah. It was the birthday blues.
It's birthday month. We talk about this every year.
Yeah. Bree's got a countdown going.
It's September.
It's like, yeah. I don't know how many days. She's got this countdown every day. She reminds me, you know, 20 days, 14 days, like that. And it is a phenomenon that I don't know when it's going to hit.
Yeah.
It did hit yesterday.
Right.
Out of the blue. And what happens is I get really blue. Like my blue takes over.
Yeah, your blue aura.
The red starts to, I don't know what happens to the red.
You get real victimized by your own birthday.
And
And then you think like all of us hate you.
Yeah.
And then, but I think what happens is you really just start to be like sick of yourself.
Yeah.
But you project it on us.
Maybe. But then on, you know, September 22nd, midnight.
Yeah.
It goes away.
That's your birthday.
And the next day I wake up and it's gone.
It's gone.
No matter what, it's gone. That day. The next day it's gone. But I don't know. This time it hit like early September. Sometimes it hits like first day or two of September. middle of December, but yeah, so it hit.
Well, birthday depression is a thing.
Is it?
I found an article about it.
Okay.
What causes birthday depression, your own anxiety, feeling behind in your life plans, traumatic childhood memories.
Yep, definitely.
Just overall depression. And what I think your thing is, like, the fear of aging or the fear of death.
Okay.
Which I discovered is an actual phobia. And I think you have it. It's called the fear of getting old. It's thanatophobia.
Oh, I probably have that.
Yeah, you totally have that. But there's, like, symptoms of having an issue with your birthday. It could be a change of mood that persists and lasts for several days surrounding your birthday.
Or weeks, in my case.
That's you.
Yeah, that's me.
Feeling more low, down, or sad than usual.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you do, like, preventative care for me.
I do.
To try to get it to be a little bit less. Like, you'll tell me to get a haircut.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know, you'll tell me to, like, be a little bit more cleanly, you know, shave.
Yes, it's true. You know,
things like that.
Well, that's the thing with you. Like, the more Blue Aura you are, the less you shave.
Right.
You let your hair grow out. You stop, like, showering. That's,
yeah,
like, signs of depression.
I know.
And now that, like, I think about it.
And then, like, everything is, like, becomes so meaningless. And then I see people, like, even if I'm, like, it's so, like, exacerbates, like, the meaningless of things. Like,
yeah,
when I see people, like, arguing over nonsense, it, like, gets to me even more.
Yeah.
I get even, like, I think I get more red ranty even.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
well, that's another thing, just kind of like difficulty focusing or concentrating, like feeling fatigued, changes in sleep, changes in appetite, physical aches or pains, stressing about how much time you have left.
Ruminating
on the past and goals unaccomplished.
Yeah.
Like that. Wanting to avoid the actual day of your birthday.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I have all those.
Disinterest in celebrating your birthday.
Definitely.
And desire to isolate yourself.
Yeah.
And you're a lot of fun.
And we finally learned that, you know, like a few years ago. It's like, okay, so what we do for my birthday, we don't do anything great. You know, I just go to Kentucky Fried Chicken or something
you're
like that.
Like, let's just go to, and it's like,
you know, I go to
Cracker
McDonald's.
Barrel.
Yeah, go to Cracker Barrel. Applebee's,
like, okay,
date
Scott.
Night. But then what we do is we plan something for the next day.
Yeah.
To be like, so we do it the next day.
Well, that's, I've learned over the many, I think this is the 24th birthday I'll be spending with you. You have to do something red aura to get out of it. So
right.
So we're going to go canoeing.
Kayaking.
Kayaking nearby.
Yeah. Yeah,
not in an ocean.
No. Salt marsh.
A salt marsh.
Amelia Island.
So I feel safe about that.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still a little stressed out about that, but yeah, but that makes you happy.
It does,
because it's like a physical adventure.
Yeah,
and that's good for
all
you.
All right, so the next few episodes I might be a little bit down, you know, just understand it's the birthday blues,
but they have to tell you something positive.
Oh,
I researched.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so people, there was a study done and I grabbed it because I was like, oh Scott, that there is an actual scientific link between spirituality and longevity.
Really?
All right. So they did, like, a real life, I'm not a green person enough to, like, you know,
okay,
take this info and say it in an intelligent way. But basically, the Mayo Clinic did some sort of, you know, research, and they said that people that are spiritual actually live a lot longer than people that aren't.
Really? Okay.
Religious or spiritual.
So this is good news.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to live. I'm one of the most spiritual people there is.
Yeah, because
I'm
this podcast
spiritual.
Is saving you. So
it is.
So ways that this, you know, overall expressing gratitude has been linked with, you
yep.
know, overall health and longevity, praying.
Yep.
Or doing whatever that
meditating,
makes sense
my yoga.
To you. Yeah, being optimistic.
Okay.
And keeping a journal, which you don't do. And
you know, I might do that.
And finding the lesson in things. So when something happens, instead of red ranting about it, you're supposed to be like, well, what did this teach me?
Okay.
You know, or what's the lesson here? What can I take from this? That, I guess that helps people to live longer.
All right. Well, I had the spiritual awakening. I am the most spiritually awakened red person I know.
Yeah.
I'm probably now going to live to about 127, you know. Yeah.
You know what I see, though?
I feel good.
We have a red aura kid. And she doesn't like her birthday either.
Yeah.
Is it a red aura thing? I don't know. Your mom doesn't like her birthday either. She's red.
Yeah, that's true.
My mom loves her birthday. She's
well,
red.
I guess we're going to have to take this to the Facebook page.
Yeah.
We're going to have to ask, you know, does another color come out when it's your birthday?
Yes,
month?
That's a great question.
Yeah, it does. You know, do you wear new color?
Right.
Or does another color come out of your
Yeah,
two
how
colors?
Does each aura color handle
their birthday?
Their birthday.
I think we might have, like, done something similar to this
we
in the past
because
every year I go through the same thing.
Yeah.
But. All right, we'll try that.
Okay.
All right, I feel a little better about that because of spiritually people live longer.
Yeah.
So I feel a little bit better.
So you're good, Scott.
All right.
Yeah.
Could I actually come, if I could actually come out of it before September 22nd,
nah.
That would be a huge breakthrough.
Yeah.
I don't think it's happening.
I don't know. Right. It's part of our tradition now, your mood.
Spese. Spese.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to talk about how narcissists break your connection with spirit.
Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. Well, you know, we go to the gym together.
We do.
We work out together.
We do.
And, you know, in the car, you know, I said something to you. I said, I noticed you've been, you know, you've been looking a little stronger.
Yeah.
And you've been doing a little bit, you have a different routine in the gym lately.
I sure do.
I mean, you're in my, you know, you were in my section, by the way.
I know.
I don't like, you know, people in my section.
I know.
Well, you're fine. But
thanks. Thanks.
But yeah, you've been doing a lot of different things than your normal, usual, you know, just on the treadmill while you're doing your social media.
Yeah, this is so true because Copilot has changed my whole workout game. Copilot is an affordable one-on-one remote personal training service that provides personalized workouts tailored to your goals and available equipment. I get accountability and support from Olivia, my real person trainer. I talk to her almost every day, and she takes all the thinking out of my workout. And because I go into the gym and I just have my workout ready, I am moving around the gym more. I'm trying different things. I have worked on my strengths. I've been hitting goals I didn't know I could hit. And Olivia is on top of my workout program. She moves things around as I get better at them, or I give her suggestions or whatnot. You know, Copilot was one of the best personal trainer apps of 2023 by Forbes. And you can see why as soon as you try. And guess what? You can try it, and you can try it for free today. Go to go.mycopilot.com/knowyouraura to get a 14-day free trial with your own personal trainer. That's go.mypilot.com/knowyouraura for a free 14-day trial. Our unique link will be in our show notes as well.
I've not talked about this in a while, but I wanted to do an episode about how narcissists basically break your connection with spirit. I'm going to talk about some specific ways they do that. Preface, I feel like every time I do this before these types of episodes, but like I am not a professional. I'm not a mental health professional. I'm not a therapist, obviously. And I think those people are where we go 100% to deal with these things and heal. And I've done it myself. Therapy is really helpful. And so I direct all medical expertise and mental health expertise to them. But the way that I talk about narcissists and empaths might be a little different than how other people talk about it. And you've heard me explain this before. I'll use the word narcissist and I'll use the word empath because those are the words that are available to me. But to really understand what I mean by them, I strongly recommend that you go back to episode 110, the Empath Starter Pack. That's where I talk about something called the Recovering Empath and how empaths and narcissists work together spiritually. And that, because that's really the foundation of this whenever I do one of these narcissist episodes. And secondly, like when I say narcissist, I mean, it might be somebody, you know, because I don't diagnose people, but it might be somebody who just acts narcissistic with narcissistic traits, or maybe they were programmed a certain way and now this is their behavior and they're not actually a narcissist. Here's the deal. I'm going to use that word, but we're going to keep that in mind that, you know, we don't diagnose people, obviously. But having said that, I feel like it is true that we all go through phases of narcissism in our lives, definitely phases, definitely times in our life. So I'm not talking about today that a relationship with somebody when they were just going through something. I'm talking about somebody who is systematically like this and it doesn't get better. And it's over years and years and years and years. And they have their moments, but they always come back to the narcissism and the narcissistic toxic tendencies. So just keep that in mind, because a lot of us, what we do as empaths is we're really good at giving people breaks. Everyone but ourselves, right? We're really good at separating someone's behavior from someone's inner self or their inner broken child or the part that we're able to see. So we'll back it up. When you are an empath, and I see empaths as blue auras, purple, indigos, and turquoise auras, and sometimes pinks too. I see empath auras. And if you tend to lead with your empath aura, and also you're not an aware empath, meaning you're an unaware empath, what happens is your ability to feel other people's feelings as your own can get hijacked and manipulated by those who need a constant supply of energy in order to fuel the false reality that is necessary for them to survive and exist. And those are narcissists. So empath aura people who are unaware of this ability are more likely to fall victim to people who are going to use it to their own ends. And that's kind of the bottom line of understanding from how I speak about what an empath is. It's somebody who feels other people's reality as their own and is unable to differentiate it from their own reality. Meaning, if I'm around someone, okay, and they're sad, I feel sad. And all of a sudden, any of their problems are now my problems too. And any of their burdens are my burdens too. Which is fine if you're in a mutually helpful relationship or a healer, a light working relationship or something that is for the greater good. But when you're with somebody who knows this about you and exploits it, they keep you in a cyclical pattern of toxicity and abuse and emotional disrepair. Also, what you're going to have to understand for this episode is something called a psychic bond. When you are close to someone, you create a bond with them, an attachment, a cord. I'm going to talk about that more. So if this is a parent or a relative or a spouse or a really good friend, somebody close to you, these cords, these psychic bonds are very, very strong. In a positive relationship, that's great. That's actually what keeps us feeling connected to one another. In a toxic relationship, not so great. It's what keeps them as a parasitic relationship to you. And finally, when you are an unaware empath, meaning you don't understand that you have the ability to feel other people's feelings as your own, and you're actively not differentiating it, and furthermore, you're getting all your self-worth from reacting the way the other people need you to, what can happen is you can start to see their world as your world, their enemies as your enemies, and you can actually fall victim to acting out their narcissistic behavior in yourself, which is honestly exactly what they want you to do, because then you are complicit as well. So it's not them acting terrible, you're acting it, because what do you become? A flying monkey. That is from The Wizard of Oz. It's coined from the movie when the Wicked Witch sends out the flying monkeys to do her bidding, and that's exactly what narcissists do. So these psychic bonds that you create with narcissists become so strong and so powerful that they tend to feed you, and you forget how to take from more positive and rewarding sources such as self and spirit and also more healthy relationships. Okay, but today we are talking about how narcissists basically destroy your connection with spirit, your own connection with spirit. And the first way they do this is something called supply. And narcissistic supply, you can look that up. What is narcissistic supply? Narcissists have a false self. So you could call it, I call it like the ego self or the 3D self. They have this idea of who they are. It could be the victim. It could be the savior. It could be the hero. It could be whatever it is. They have something. It could be the rich person. It could be the schmoozer, the advice giver. It could be the religious leader. Whatever it is, they have this false self. And they need to believe that it's true. And how they do that is they're going to need other people to believe in it. And you become their supply, because what do? You are an empath and you feel other people's feelings as your own. And other people's realities become your reality when you are unaware about this skill. So narcissists are like, this is great. Unaware empaths are my supply. So they will completely rely on you to fuel their supply. They are outsourcing their connection to anybody who believes in their false self. So their connection. So that's why narcissists are in constant need of praise, and they do everything's for show. And anything that they do, you know, they're big on social media. Oh, I took care of my daughter, or look at me being the husband who bought the kids Disney World tickets, or like whatever it is. Like, it's a big show because they need other, like, the outside perspective is way more important, because that is actually what they're relying on. And you know, they themselves were never taught to rely on self and spirit for whatever reason, whatever happened to them. So now they're outsourcing it to you. And you embody this connection for them. Like, you become their source. And you're a giver by nature, right? And other realities are your own. So you can feel the need to make up for that broken part in them. You know that they can't handle it if they are going to see the fractures in their false reality. So you're running around constantly paving them and fixing them and making sure that they're protected from seeing those things. Somebody that says something that's true, they're crazy. Let me help you discredit them. Somebody that, you know, comes forward and disagrees with you, well, they're wrong, you're right. Let me tell you all the reasons. Let me get 8 more people to agree with you. See, you're right. So you get in this habit of protecting them. And it leaves little to no room for your own connection to source and spirit. Because when you are an unaware empath and you don't know that you can do this, what happens is you lose your own connection to source, yourself. All of a sudden, their approval, their false reality becomes like your God. That becomes the thing that's holding you up too. So now, not because their whole sense of self is conditional, environmental, they create the need for your self, whole sense of self, to be conditional and fragile as well. And it's dependent upon whether you do a good enough job for the narcissist or not. And they will always start with a lot of romance and honeymooning, and you're doing great, and oh my gosh, you're my savior, you're my angel, you're my this, you're my that. And then all of a sudden, the discontent happens, and you're always chasing that high. You're always chasing that approval, because you become their source, and then they become your source. It's a mirror, okay? And negative supply or positive supply, at first it's positive supply. All right. You know, you provide them with a lot of support and love, and they say all these wonderful things to you. But eventually it becomes negative supply, because it's really the same thing to them. If you become hateful and rude, and if you become whatever they're labeling you as because you're not agreeing or whatever, they'll start putting you down. They'll start jabbing at you. They'll start creating drama with you. They'll start wanting to poke and make fights with you, because then you can become the negative supply to support, again, their narrative. You know, you're jealous of me because I'm so amazing, or you're jealous because of my riches, or you are a bad person so you don't understand my heroic self, or you embody evil and I embody good. So they will try to create a narrative where you're the negative supply, and it keeps you there. It keeps you attached all the same, positive or negative. So you really do have to separate you from your source. Because they don't have a connection to source, so they made you the source, and then through that you, and when I say source, I mean that which is greater than us, whatever you want to call that. You want to call that God, you want to call it your higher power, higher self, whatever you want to call that, that's what they separate you from. If you want to make it more, they separate you from your own mind. They separate you from your own inner you. And the false self is their source, not spirit. And you're their supply, and then you become their source, and then you become really dependent upon them. And that really destroys your connection, because when they discard you, which they always do, even if they come back after, when they discard you, you know, with these narcissists, you'll be discarded for a couple months, and then they come back to you. What happens? You're lost. You're like a wandering sheep. you're isolated. You're like, I don't know what to do. You feel empty. You feel like a hole is inside of you, like a huge void. They took away their, you were source to them and they were source to you. And so when they cut you off, you suffer because you have to rebuild that in yourself. And you really weren't working on that for a long time. So notice that with these people in your life, because that feeling that you feel like of emptiness, and you can feel sick and you can feel nauseous and you could just be like, oh my God. And it's like a dependency almost. When you feel that, it's because you're lacking in your own connection to self, spirit, source. And that is actually what has to be focused on. And you have to rebuild it, sometimes often from the ground up, which is where I definitely, again, recommend episode 110, the Empath Starter Pack. If that feels like where you're at, I would start there. Okay. So the second way they can get you is through something called hovering. Fall is here. It is quickly approaching and it is sweater weather. And Jenny Kane is a sponsor of this podcast, which is amazing because every time I wear my Jenny Kane sweater, I get so many compliments. Jenny Kane is known for their super luxe yet lightweight sweaters. And trust me, they do cashmere better than anyone. The cashmere fisherman and the cashmere cocoon, which I have, are best sellers in every season. But I'm always most excited to style them around each fall, just waiting for the weather to dip and I could bring out my Jenny Kane sweater. Although honestly, I had it on me all summer. Jenny Kane sweaters just don't go out of style because she believes in the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless design so you can curate a wardrobe that will never go out of style. Find your forever pieces at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code KYA at checkout. That's 15% off your first order. JennyKane.com, promo code KYA. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. And before we talk about hovering or hoovering, it's spelled like H-O-O-V-E-R-I-N-G. Not my term, but I'm going to call it hovering because it feels like a hover. Anyhow, before you understand hovering, which is actually a term for what narcissists do to you, and I'm going to explain that, you have to understand what telepathy is, because this is another thing that they break. When you have a psychic bond with somebody, it means that it's easier for you and that person to communicate. So that's just like that person, they're on your mind more. You ever notice with people that you're kind of close to, you know, hey, mom, I knew you were about to call me, or dad, I've been worried about you. I kind of wanted to check in. And then, you know, you realize that you're right, or you haven't heard from your cousin in a while. And you're like, ah, yeah. And then you find out she's going through something. You're like, ah, I just knew I had this nagging feeling to bug her. That's your psychic bond. And through that psychic bond, you can get a lot of messages from spirit and source and loved ones on the other side and all sorts of stuff. And basically what it means is, because time and space is not real, okay? Even if you're not physically near someone, you energetically always are when you have a psychic bond with somebody. Think about, you know, if you're a mom, if you have kids, you're just in their mind a lot. I love reading moms because you're in your kid's head. And I'll see them, especially you moms with like a bunch of kids. I can see you go through each kid like, okay, this one. All right, now this one. Okay, where's this one at? Like it's a psychic bond and it's actually a really helpful, wonderful thing. And it's a vulnerable thing. Okay. It's vulnerable because it's reciprocative. They're on your mind and vice versa. So anyway, so you have to understand that. So how do narcissists take advantage of this? So of course, you have a psychic bond with a narcissist. And instead of using it as kind of like a lovely messenger, a message board that you both can check in a neutral and loving and well-intentioned place, what they will do is they will leave it or infiltrate it. And they will do it in really desperate and horrible ways. And that's called hovering. And actually learning about this was really helpful because this is a behavior that narcissists do. And it's a manipulation tactic. And if you don't know about it, you think it's actually just a normal thing that happens in relationships, sadly enough, but it's not. And then I ask yourself, like, let's say somebody in your life was, you know, said, I need a break. would you do like really screwed up things to get them to respond to you instead of giving them that space? Yeah, no, you wouldn't. You know, like you'd check in lovingly. Like, hey, you know, I know you said you needed a break, but I just, you know, I worry about you and I just want you to know I'm here. We don't even have to talk about anything. I'm just here if you need me. Or you just send them little notes here and there, or funny cartoons or things like that. But you wouldn't do this type of stuff. And if you don't know that, though, you might think this is love. You might think this is normal. And you might think that this is just how relationships work. Oh, they care about me. No. All right. So what is hovering? Hovering's a manipulation tactic used to just suck you back into a toxic relationship cycle. That's all. So basically, you're their supply, right? We've established that. And if you're trying to distance yourself from them, they're going to freak out because, again, you're their supply. Like, you're their life air. You're their lifeblood, keeping that false reality alive. So they need you. And they're going to use that psychic bond to get to you. And they're going to say all sorts of things. They're going to love bomb you. Oh my God, I love you. You're amazing. They're going to have a crisis. Like, your father's ill. Like, what? Yes. And I just had bad news from the doctor. What? You know, what's going on? You know, they're going to do that kind of nonsense. They're going to stalk you. They can go negative, smear campaigns. All right. They're going to start talking to all the friends about you, spreading that rumor you didn't want somebody to know about. Anything they can do to get you either negatively or positively to come back to them. All right. They might go to your friends and family to try to see where you went. They might accidentally text you on purpose by accident. Has that ever happened to you? Like, oh, you know, could you get milk at the grocery store? Oh, never mind. That wasn't for you. Dot, dot, dot. Anyway, how are you? Like, come on. You know, like they're trying really hard. They might make those bold promises. They might do really screwed up things like say, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hurt myself if you don't call me. What else? And then there's something, and this was really amazing. It's called like antisocial hovering. This is where they deliberately hurt you or your family members through like crazy revenge tactics, like stuff that's borderline illegal even. Like they might try to steal your money. They might go after your kids. They might act really dangerous. You know, they might do something that's really violent to you or whatever. And that's also hovering. So you'd think like they want me back in their good graces. Why would they like slash my tires and I know it's them, or why would they throw eggs at my car? You know, I've heard it all. You know, why would they go to my grandma's house and start asking about me and upsetting her? And then I get this hysterical phone call from her, you know? So you might, because they just need supply. And if you don't give it to them in a positive way, they will come after you for a negative, because it doesn't matter. They just need your attention. And what the psychic part is, or the spiritual part is this infiltrates your mind. It's all you can think about. Because when you have a psychic bond with somebody, if they're hysterically thinking about you and obsessively thinking about you, you're actually going to pick up on that. And you might, that's why I always say, like, when you think about somebody, ask yourself, am I thinking about them, or do I know that they're thinking about me? Because there's a difference. Because narcissists will jump in on that psychic bond as they're obsessively thinking about you to try to get you to react or try to get you to engage energetically. When you have a relationship with a narcissist, they're always around you energetically. You're thinking about them. You're worried about them. Anything that happens to you that for any other relationship might be like not a big deal, you're thinking, well, how's that going to affect them? You know, or how will that bother them? Or how will that make them look good or look bad? They all of a sudden become part of your psyche 24/7. And that is them using and hijacking the psychic bond that you have to manipulate you. And again, take you away from source, take you away from your higher self talking, you know, your spirit guides talking, whatever you want to call that, that inner wisdom. They will take that away from you and try to replace it as themselves. When you're in a relationship with a narcissist, they are your religion. Like, they are your God. They are your love. They are your friend. They are your enemy. They are your food. They are your motivation. They are your inspiration. You are not allowed to have any of those things that do not center around that person. And you think that you need them. Honestly, they need you. They created this for them to be so necessary that when they remove themselves from it, you feel like you're freaking out. But honestly, a lot of times you're just feeling them freaking out. And because you're an empath and you feel other people's feelings as your own, and over time, at some point, especially if you're unaware, somebody told you that it was also your worth and duty and obligation to fix it when you felt that, without even thinking, that's what you do. So I am here to tell you that if you are thinking about somebody a lot, it is probably that telepathic exchange through the psychic bond. And if it's hovering, it needs to be, you know, just observed and seen for what it is. So a third thing that narcissists do to detach you from spirit and source and self is they totally exploit your light working gifts for themselves. All right. So again, you are an empath. You have the ability to feel other people's feelings as your own. Their realities feel like your realities. You can walk into somebody else's space and truly, truly walk in their shoes. You have that ability. The more aware you are about it, actually, the stronger it gets. Believe it or not, the more you realize you can do this, the more that you don't own other people's realities as your own, the stronger it gets to help them. However, narcissists will take this ability that you have to help and provide empathy and to heal. They will take that because that's light working. Light working is when you... I guess it's the way I like to think about it is feel God in someone else. So light working can be as very basic as, you know, here's a blanket to a homeless person. I see you. I validate you. You need to get warm tonight. Here's a sandwich. Here's a blanket. Here's my number. Let me take you to the shelter. Okay. That can be light working, very hands-on. Light working can also be working for a non-for-profit, putting in your time. Okay, I'm doing the books for this place. They're a mess. I got it. You know, that can be light working too. All right. Light working is when you do something for the greater good and you can really see that you're paying it forward. You can really feel God in other people stir. And it's really not about you. You know, it's about feeling that other people feel loved and seen. And you get to share in that glow when it happens. Okay. But narcissists take all that ability you have and they're like, no, no, no. I'm a void. I'm a bottomless well of need and destruction and victimization and problems. And I'm also the most worthy place you can put it. And you're a bad person if you don't focus all your attention on me. That's what you should be doing. You know, and so every little bit of energy you have only goes to me, which gets really complicated if that's like your spouse and you have kids together and then they start getting jealous of the kids. That can get really screwed up. Or if you have, you know, that's why they always isolate you, you know, because it always has to be about them. Again, they're the number one. So any light working gifts that you have that really should be the greater good, you know, and places where people can pay it forward, where you're feeling God move, whatever you want to call that, by the way, where you're feeling that which is greater than us move in other people, they will take, get jealous of, and be like, ooh, that was energy you could have put in me. And then they start going after you. You know, let's say you're doing something for the community. Let's say you're at your church and, you know, you're really involved in the potluck. Oh, wow. You know, you care more about them than me, don't you? You know, they will find anything they can to make you say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You're right. I'm a terrible person for helping out the community. I am so sorry that every ounce I have should go to you. I forgot because you're like an endless pit of need. So they will take those light working gifts, which actually you were given by that which is greater than us, for your own life purpose to go out and make a difference. It's not just for like one source, which is really hard to understand. it is hard to understand when you've, especially if you were raised like this or you've been in a situation long enough where you're like, wait a second, what? You know, so they'll exploit you and they'll waste you. Whereas in other places, when you put that lightworking gifts to good use, it's utilized and it's paid forward. And that doesn't feel as gross. So that's another way that they will misuse you, and they will also energy vampire you. You know, your pain is their gain. You know this and you subconsciously will submit to it when you're an unaware empath, meaning that you understand deep down subconsciously that they are screwed up, broken people. So you understand that they need, there is some inner child in there screaming in a cage of their own design inside of them. And you're always trying to get to that nugget of good in them because it is there. And that is hard because when you're an empath, you feel it. But it's a choice that we all have to make to get better or not. And narcissists just do not take personal responsibility, but they will take your energy forever and not get better. And even though it's really sad because you will feel them hurting inside, they themselves will never let you heal them because they want the fix, but they don't actually want to be fixed. You know, they want the cure, but they don't want to be cured. And understanding that is that little nuance that will help you understand what is light working versus what is just wasting your time. To put it quite simply, I've always had a roller coaster of hormones, and depending on what season of life I've been in, it's been a myriad of symptoms with different strengths and velocities. Right now, I have personally struggled with bloating. I bloat so bad around my cycle. Well, this next sponsor has made a legitimately huge difference in my life. This podcast is sponsored by Mixers. Mixers is a nutritional supplement that helps balance hormones. You know, for women searching for PMS relief, Mixers created Her Time, which is what I take. It is the most enjoyable, effective, and long-term solution on the market because the ingredients nourish the root cause of hormonal imbalance and eliminate the need for any additional costly PMS aids. Since I've been taking it for about 30 days now, I will tell you that I have bloated about 2 pounds less than I normally do around this time. And it's not about anything. And I feel more energized and I feel more, it's taken the edge off of everything, truly. And as a health conscious person, I really enjoy Mixers because they are produced with 100% natural ingredients. They don't use any artificial flavors, colors, or added preservatives, and all of their products are gluten-free. Join the thousands of women who have discovered feel-good freedom through balanced hormones. Head to mixhers.com/KYA and use promo code KYA at checkout for an additional 10% off your order. Mixhers rarely gives discounts, so 10% is the best offer you'll find. Remember to use my code, promo code KYA, for an additional 10% off. A fourth way that narcissists really break your connection to spirit is that they spin healthy vulnerability against you. Vulnerability. What is a vulnerability? Vulnerability is strong. It is authentic vulnerability. It is saying how you feel and not being ashamed of it. It's also saying how you feel and understanding that it might change. It's also saying how you feel emotionally and being willing to work on it. Healthy vulnerability is necessary for spiritual growth and evolution. We're not the same person our entire life. We need vulnerability, healthy vulnerability, to grow into who we're supposed to be, where we love those old versions of ourselves and embrace them and learn what we're supposed to learn and forgive ourselves and move forward and know we're going to do it all over again. And know we're going to do it all over again. That's healthy vulnerability. I'm not perfect. I'm a work in progress. Personal responsibility. I'm always willing to work on myself and change and be open and hear you know, good criticism and, you know, be good to myself and evolve. It's okay to change your mind. All right. But when you are in a relationship with a narcissist, and I think, you know, if you're raised by one, that's hard. And then if you're in like a relationship with one for a really long time, here's what happens. At some point, you know, something's wrong with this person. Like, you know, even if you don't have a word for it, you're like, something's wrong with this person, because what they do is they actually find your vulnerabilities and they exploit them. They pick on you for them. Well, they identify them immediately and then they exploit them. They pick on you for them. They activate your ego against them and they get you absolutely terrified to work on them. All right. So what, and I'll explain that in a second. So what happens is you end up closing yourself off to everyone because you think everybody's going to do this to you. So let's say you have a parent who's a narcissist and, you know, through your vulnerability as a child, which is just what you're supposed to be, growing and changing and shifting, you were constantly critiqued or attacked or, you know, made fun of, or whatever, or, you know, spun, you know, told things about yourself that you believe to be true and whatnot. What happens is, oh my gosh, I don't want to make new relationships with people because it hurts inside because they attack me. They find what I'm weak about and it's hard to get over that. So love is painful, so I won't do that. So a lot of people who are raised by narcissists or who have just gotten out of a long relationship with a narcissist, they don't want to meet new people because they just feel like everyone's going to be like that again to them. They learn not to open up to other people. So when somebody's really been hurt by a narcissist, what happens is they're really hard to get close to. I look at kids sometimes who have parents who are narcissists. You know, you see them like in the news or whatever. You're like, oh, wow. And these kids are probably the hardest to get info out of. Everything's great. Everything's fine. I'm good. I mean, they know how to fake it. They are F-I-N-E, fine all the time. And they are like little fortresses. Watch out for those ones because they don't want to get close to people. They have a wall around them, a fortress, because anybody getting close is just going to hurt them like whoever this relationship in their life is that already does that. So they'll spin your healthy vulnerability against you. How will they do that? Okay. So there's a lot of different ways. Like we all have vulnerabilities and like narcissists will kind of groom you to find yours. Like they'll pretend they have vulnerabilities, which they have a million, but just to get you to talk about yours. So they'll create like bonds and attachments to make you feel stuck to them. So, you know, maybe like, for example, you were a kid. And your mom, you know, a kid. And what do kids go through? Awkward stages. And your mom will just never let it go. Like, oh, honey, you know, do you really want to eat that? Or is that, you know, maybe you're sensitive about your weight. And then it just follows you till you're like 40 and she's still saying stuff. And now you feel like everyone's saying that about you. Oh my God, they're all calling me, you know, overweight behind my back. They all know I look disgusting in this dress. They all know I shouldn't be wearing that color. It's too loud. Because that is a vulnerability that was put into you, and now you feel like everyone's going to treat you the same way. And you can't be, like, vulnerable with new people, so it's hard to get close to them. You know, it's hard to find a relationship. It's hard to feel like you can trust friends, all that stuff. But there's lots of ways this can, you know, maybe you have this need for a lot of empath stuff. Like, what do we all have? We have this need to not be in fights or confrontation, or they know we need approval to feel good about ourselves. They really push the pleaser mentality in us instead of help us navigate around it or find our own voice. They know that you have an overly kind and forgiving nature, so they're just going to like take advantage of that. They know that you feel good when you fix something or you feel good when you save somebody, so they're like, oh my gosh, thank you for this. If it wasn't for you, I'd be destitute. So, you know, they're big on saying that. They collect your secrets. They, anything you give them, they'll blackmail you and you know it. Or they know something's happening to you, like abuse or something, and they're just like, oh, that didn't happen, you know. They'll keep it hidden, or they won't tell anybody. They feel they can call you really naive. They can make fun of you. Oh, you're so silly. You think people are good. You're so naive. You really think someone cares about you? You know, you'll hear a lot of that. You know, they'll tell you you're not smart. You don't know how people think. I know how the world works. Think Mother Gothel, okay? Like, it's all the Mother Gothel stuff. Like, Mother knows best. That is how they spin your health. You know, and what's poor Rapunzel doing? She's got the frying pan against the world. Okay, now she gets over it really quick in this, in that movie. But let me tell you, it takes longer than that. And so that is just something that you have to understand about them, that they will find the things that you are vulnerable about and then kind of spread them out, make them bigger, larger than life, and actually give life to them. Think about it. You have a kid, right? You know they're insecure about something. What do you try to do? Try to pump them up? You're like, hey, no, we can do this. We're going to do it together. You know, they don't encourage you to keep thinking that way. Or create contexts in which you can't. Here, I'll protect you so you don't have to do that. Here, see how I saved you? You don't ever have to learn that because I'll do it for you. See, that's kind of what they do. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, they saved me. Or, oh, they're right. They're the only one that loves me. You know, they're the only one. And it creates those bonds and attachment. It's harder for you to get, you feel like that's real and other people aren't. Yeah, and it makes you really... It makes it hard to just grow and move forward. Okay. Finally, another thing that they do is, you know, they really just redefine what love is. Love is the most pure form of connection to spirit. I would say it's like love, gratitude, but love. Love is unconditional. And the way I see love, it's not selfish. Love is when you do something for somebody and there's nothing expected to in return. That is love. That's love. But for narcissists, love is a barter system. When they give it to you, you have to give something back. And they take your ability to love purely and unconditionally, and they redefine it. So now you think that it's something you have to earn, and it's something that's conditional, and it's something that goes away if you grow or have a new thought or change your mind about something. And that's not love. And love's not self-serving or proud or boastful or exploitative. It's not jealous. All right. But they make you think like, hey, if you love me, you won't put me in a position where I'm jealous of you. Or if you love me, you'll put me in a position where I'm the center of attention, not you. Or if you love me, okay, you'll let me throw you under the bus when I need to. That's the barter system, narcissistic version of love. And it's not like that. And then when they do it, then they'll like gaslight you, which I did a whole episode about, you know, if you've listened to that, which is telling you that what just happened didn't. And then you can confuse gaslighting with love. So you're like, oh, when they rewrite reality, it means that they love me. And then you are just waiting in the relationship for when you have a falling out or something. They're just like, oh, well, you heard it wrong. Or I didn't say this. I said that. You just took it the wrong way. You're so naive, or you're dumb, or you're so silly. You always think that. And then you're like, oh, you're right. Okay. They love me because they gaslit me. So I think that could be the worst thing that they do out of everything. And then you just don't know what love is, and you're supposed to go find love. And then when you find situations and opportunity and context where you could find it, it doesn't feel right to you. It feels like a foreign land. And that's why you got to stick in those situations for a while. You got to stick in those situations, and it might feel boring, and it might feel empty, and it might feel quiet until you start staying away from the narcissist. And you're like, wait a second. Love is easy. Love isn't difficult. Love is peaceful. Love is just really kind. And love is mutual. And then it can change. All right. So how do we, you know, how do we move forward from this? Oh, and that's the other thing. Oh, I meant to write this. Sorry, I put in my notes. And this is it. The other thing is, I guess this is number six, because manifesting, they really screw up your, this is just a, here's my little PS. They mess up your ability to manifest because you think the universe itself acts like a narcissist, and it doesn't. That blew my mind when I figured that out. I'm like, wait a second. The universe itself isn't like a person that's narcissistic. the universe is kind of like this neutral place that what you give, you get. And if you put yourself in situations where you're used and love is a barter system, then you're going to think the universe works like that. And then your reality will work like that. So just a little side note. Okay. But moving forward, how the heck do we release these people from our spiritual energy, from our auric fields, from us? Well, episode 85, I talked about removing your own cords and attachments, because every person you meet, every experience you have, every place you've been, you've formed a spiritual cord and attachment with. And some are like neutral. Most are neutral. And a lot are positive. But these negative ones, you know, they just tend to ache. And I think because the narcissists tug on them more. So they're in there more. But feeling it and feeling it uncomfortably, like when you feel it's uncomfortable between you and the narcissist, like the relationship is off and it's like gives you anxiety and stress and you're like freaking out and you're like, oh my God, there might be a pull to you to go to your old ways and repair with them. All right, I'll just say the thing they need me to say, or I'll just be the person they need me to be, just to keep it, just so I don't feel them pulling on my cord anymore. But honestly, what if we use that discomfort and we were like, ooh, this isn't normal. What wounds is it pulling on? And now, and on those wounds that you feel that cord tugging on, you're going to see all those vulnerabilities from the insecurities that you really don't have to be ashamed of anymore. You're going to feel all the things that actually need some TLC from yourself. And working on that becomes the first steps in rebuilding your own connection to self and spirit, which should be your own and nobody else's. And that takes time. And that takes work, and that takes therapy, and that takes episode 85. I do like a meditation and we go through it together. We try to release the cords together, and that takes, you know, consistency. And it's something that I hope today has helped you kind of realize or see in your own life where perhaps narcissistic individuals are blocking your connection to self and spirit, because you were put here to hone that and tend to that like the most important garden there is. And when you do that, and I'm telling you this right now, if nobody else told you that, that is you serving spirit. That is you serving source, self, whatever word you, that which is greater than us. When you take what you were given and respect it and love it and create environments where you mandate it to be treated well, you are actually honoring, you're honoring source, that source energy that gave it to you. So you definitely are a priority. So when we say self-care and we say like taking care of ourselves and we say all that, a lot of that is honestly keeping yourself protected the way you protect other people. Protect yourself first. And it can be really hard because you're like, oh, that feels selfish. You know, am I, when you're a happier, more aligned person, the people that you love and the people that really love you in healthy ways benefit. Trust me, they do. So the people that don't benefit when you take care of yourself, red flag, red flag, red flag when they start taking it personally. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, you guys. And I'm just, whew, I really, I don't know if you feel it. I'm like kind of, not to gross you out, I'm kind of sweaty, but I really put myself into this one. So I wonder if you're feeling it. So if you're feeling stressed, that's me. Because you can feel other people's reality as your own. You probably feel mine right now. All right. Love you guys. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. Well, you know, I'm down. Birthday month.
Yeah.
But there's something that could possibly get me out of it. Get that red going again.
Yeah.
Base. Weekender
I
bag.
I think. I knew you were going to say that.
You have one, but I don't have one.
I have the weekender bag. I feel like it's the family's weekender bag.
I know,
but you could use your own mini weekender.
Yeah, I'm a red. I want my own.
I feel like you want your own mini weekender bag.
I want my own base.
Yeah. Base has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. That's why we love it. 360 degree gliding wheels, a cushion handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and all the interior interior pockets. You need to keep you organized. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors. And for shorter trips, the Weekender bag is super functional and even has a place to store your shoes separately. And whether you're packing for a quick trip like we are this weekend or looking to breeze through the security line, Base has your personal items covered. Right now, Base is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/KYA. Go to basetravel.com/KYA for 15% off your first purchase. That's Base, B-E-I-S, travel.com/KYA. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
Okay, so that was heavy, and why not make it heavier? You know, I've been getting a lot of people asking me to talk about the aura of this controversial mom YouTuber that just got arrested on 6 counts of felony for child abuse. And I have Scotty here with the article, which I sent him, and he's in like Red Rant Central.
Yeah. No, well, this is like more than Red Rant. This
yeah.
A Red Rant is like when I make fun of the Vanderpump Rules
yes,
people.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
That's a Red Rant.
Yeah, this is rage.
This is like rage. Yeah. And this is why I can't. I really have a hard. I don't
yeah,
really
Scott
know everything
like
about
this. Stuff.
I couldn't even read the full article because this stuff gets me very upset. I might have said this on – I think I've definitely said this on the podcast before. I can't even watch – fictitious TV shows where things are done.
Happening to kids.
Kids, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you kill a kid in your TV show, I'm gone.
Yeah.
That's it. It's over.
We can't
like
do
that.
It.
What was that famous HBO one? The Last Man Standing or something? I don't remember.
Oh, The Last of Us?
Yeah.
That zombie one?
They killed
one.
The kid in the first 5 minutes, I think.
Yeah,
and
spoiler.
I'm like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
You're like,
it could have been a great show.
It was.
Yeah, but I wouldn't know it because
yeah,
I couldn't handle
it. Yeah, it's too
that
dark.
Stuff.
Yeah, and that's
but,
fine.
So I was given this task of looking up this Ruby person. It was a big joke. And I guess she gained fame on YouTube.
Yep.
Maybe a little on TikTok. I'm not sure. So I actually had to watch some of the videos to know what was going on.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know why I did that. But there was one video where she has like a banana.
Yeah.
And there's like three of her kids. Or
right. There's like kids,
them.
Maybe some nephews.
And
or something.
She tells them they're going to the movies. But before they're going to go to the movies, they're going to eat this banana and they're going to stand in line. And they're going to take – it was very, like, militant.
Yeah.
And they each take a bite, and then she, like, degrades them. And then
yeah.
they go to the end of the line. And then the next kid takes a bite.
Yeah.
She degrades them. He goes to the end of the line.
Yeah.
And this goes
She's
on.
Abusive with food and stuff.
Yeah, abusive with food.
Yeah.
There's another one where her kid forgot her lunch.
Yeah.
And
her kid's, like, six or something.
Her kids are six. Six. Six.
Yeah.
Kid forgot the lunch. The teacher said, hey, she's really hungry. She forgot
yeah.
her lunch. And this nonsense lady you know, says, too bad.
Yeah.
Whatever, like,
this is strict parenting.
Strict parenting.
Yeah.
Why are you even bothering me?
Yeah.
Now, I could be the other way. Now, don't get me wrong. You know,
right.
if Abby forgets her lunch at school or Bree forgets, and Bree's in high school now.
Right.
She's in high school. I'm running back there. And I probably am too lenient that way. I probably am. You know,
right.
Especially with Bree, who's older. She should know by now. But I'm still probably going back and bringing them to lunch. But anyway, this is not about me.
Yeah. But just to interject.
Yeah.
This is a narcissist thing.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a worse word for somebody like this lady.
Yeah, I think there's a worse
there
word.
There could be a worse word, just evil or something else. But I will say narcissist people will jump on laurels in order to back them up and project their false reality out. So it's like,
yeah.
Kids are too lazy these days. Hey, six-year-old, pack your own lunch.
Right.
So you're taking a societal laurel that people will latch onto. Like, yeah, that's right. Kids are lazy these days. Therefore, you should pack your own lunch.
Yeah.
Like when one thing has nothing to do with the other. So I'm always wary of people like this attaching a societal laurel to like an individual. I don't know. Just
you, no, yeah.
interject.
Yeah, no, definitely. And all right. So I watched these few videos. I couldn't watch anymore. Then I went on a red rant about how much I hate TikTok and
yeah.
influencers. And
yeah.
I went on a whole rant. On
like who watches
how,
this?
Who could, like I watched this for 2 seconds and there's no way I can do this or follow this person, like anything of this person.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And she was popular.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I truly don't get it. I don't know how you didn't just turn the button off. Maybe
a lot of kids would watch it.
Okay.
A lot of young kids were watching it because it was like one of those – she came into fame during like YouTube family fame.
Right, right, right.
So she was like one of the famous YouTube families. So yeah.
Yeah. So then I look at just her picture
mm-hmm.
just to like, you know, see. And I'm like, what? Colors is she? It
yeah.
looks weird. She gives me a horrible vibe right off the bat. I don't
yeah.
I don't understand it. And then you know, but definitely a yellow. There's definitely some murky, maybe a murky yellow. I don't know. Tell me, what do you think? What are her colors?
Oh, when I see her colors, her yellow is more like I told you so yellow, but also like a brownish tone.
Yeah, that's
to
what I meant
it.
By like the murky.
Yeah, like I wouldn't even, it's an insult to yellow. Yeah. I feel like she pretends she's yellow, like a real yellow, in order to gaslight everybody who comes at her for child abuse. You know what I mean? Like she knows how to cover her tracks because she uses that type of organization. But anyways, and then she's green. There is zero empath color in her.
Wow.
Without naming names of people that haven't been charged with things in the media, she looks like a couple other people that you guys are probably thinking of right now.
Okay.
I'm just going to put that out there because like she reminds me of other moms that have not been charged with anything, but you know, there've been allegations made or there's stuff out there and it's like, yeah, like this type of person has no empathy
right.
at all. Like she's outsourcing everything. And the kids are all like cult blue, disassociated eyes, like no light behind the eyes. They're on autopilot, total cult blue, terrified of her. And that's what I see when I see it. But I've seen that with other people out there who are still out there and doing their thing. So, so it's something that I think people do pick up on.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I guess the story goes on. She was arrested last week after her 12-year-old son escaped through a window and ran into a neighbor's home pleading for food and water.
Oh, my God.
Boy was severely malnourished, had deep lacerations from being tied up with rope and from his malnutrition. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I can't keep reading this more about the dog.
I know. Scott's getting upset.
I just don't understand. This is...
Yeah.
No one can answer this question, obviously.
Right.
But how does this go on for so long?
I know.
How does this happen?
I know.
How? There's got to be other family members. She's got, I think it said there were 2 million subscribers. There's,
yeah.
Like, nobody brings this to attention. What do people do? They watch this and, like, laugh? Like, they think this is something. Like, at first I thought this is, I'm ranting here a little bit, but at first I saw the first video. I'm like, oh, this is her gimmick. It's funny.
Yeah.
This is her joke.
Right.
You know, she lines them up like little animals. And then feeds him a bite of banana.
Yeah.
And it's a joke. This is a joke.
Yeah.
And then I realized this is not a joke. This is serious.
Yeah.
Is that what people are doing? Like thinking it's a joke?
Well,
I don't understand how this goes on so long.
Her show did get shut down a while ago. And I don't know if this is true. The YouTube channel did get shut down a while ago. I don't know if this is true. I read it had to do with all the reports that was people were reporting it over and over and over again.
That's good. That's
but good. She was starting this kind of like business with quotes around it that was turning kind of like cult-like or something. Anyways, I think what happens is, and it's hard for a lot of us to understand, people, not everybody who has kids sees them as like actual human people, and you know, with little souls. They see them as extensions of themselves, accessories, objects, possessions. And they don't see them as people. And it's hard for like a lot of us to understand that. But somebody like her, she sees her 4-year-old and she actually just sees like you would look at a chair or something and how you would replace your dining room set and like, oh, I don't like this anymore and stick it in the garage or stick it in storage. That's how some people look at their children that way. Like there's like zero. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like they look at like possessions.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so I don't know what crossed wired in her brain. And obviously I think I read something like that might've happened to her growing up that causes this like dissociative trauma, but a lot of people were hurt growing up and most people who were hurt growing up are not like this, you know, to their kids. Actually, they're the opposite, but so I don't take that as an excuse, but something's wrong. Like the wires got cut. And what happens is like, then they get this platform and they have this ability to feel correct about it. And that's scary.
That's scary.
Yeah.
How does one get this yellow green aura? It's
I saw it like, who's that one? The Theranos lady, Elizabeth.
Yeah. She had some,
she was yellow green too.
I
mean, this is totally my own thoughts. Okay. This has nothing. This is not, these are my thoughts. What I'm about to say. And you can disagree if you want, and it's not based in any sort of anything I read or anything. It's my own thoughts. She had a baby, like she had her second kid or something. Like, and I know she did it just to try to get the judge lenient on jail time.
Oh, the Theranos lady.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know, like because she was about to get sentenced, and all of a sudden she's pregnant. And it's like, oh, you can't send a mother to jail. You know, like they
That's like, what she thought.
Yeah. It has nothing to, and in my head, I was like, that baby's fine. Like, and I would never say that, you know, like, oh, a mother and her baby. Da, 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 da. That's a societal laurel that she jumped on to try to get out of something.
Yeah.
You know, but like in her head, because she's yellow green, it's like, that's just, that kid's just a means to an end or whatever. So anyways, like I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't have a kid if I knew I was going away for years, because I wouldn't want to do that to my kid. She doesn't think like that. You know, just people like this, they just, they don't, they're so self-serving.
Yeah.
It doesn't, it's weird. Like, it's just weird. So I don't know how it happens.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, like, and I wanted to link this back to what I was just talking about.
Okay.
Like how narcissists break your connection with spirit, because those kids.
Oh, they look beaten. Yeah.
If you don't, the narcissist, and again, she might, this, that lady might have a worse word because I'm not a professional, but somebody like that, okay, they think they're right. So you can look at them and they will come at you with the logic and they will die on that hill and they feel like they're correct. So you can't really look at her. You got to look at the kids, because their vulnerability, their trust is completely manipulated and used by mom. So to understand that those kids, each one of them, from as long as they could remember, know that no one will ever believe them. Mom wins. Mom's the most powerful. I am stuck. If I run away, if I tell somebody, if I tell on her, if I tell what's going on, I'll be the one that's punished. I'll be the one labeled as crazy, and everyone will believe her. And she, I'm isolated. And how do you make relationships later in life when that is what you were raised in? You were completely broken from your ability to be healthily vulnerable with other people and other situations and whatnot. And how can you make that connection with spirit? Because everything funnels through her. Everything funnels through her. You can't have a thought without her. It's kind of like a dictatorship or something of your spirit.
Yeah. And she'll probably haunt them the rest of their life.
Oh, yeah.
Even if she goes to prison for life. Even in prison, she'll still be pulling those strings.
She'll always be pulling those strings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is horrible.
It seems like the older one, she like was on social media. She hasn't been commenting a lot, but her older one who got out of the house, like posted on her story a picture of the police at the house and just wrote "finally" on the screen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure they were trying. And then she's married. That's the other thing.
My God.
But they're separated apparently. And I was looking at the dad. Oh yeah, I was looking at the dad with his aura. He's like really green and blue. I think he was scared of her too.
Probably.
And then there's those like passive participants in these situations. Like, she's a powerhouse. People do what she says. She's flipping scary and she's powerful. So he was probably nervous that he would never see the kids again, or if he said something, this would happen. He wasn't going to win. You know, like, she is ruthless. So he was probably scared of her too. So everyone, that's what happens around these people. Everyone falls in line because they know exactly. The narcissist person knows exactly how to cut you, how to cut you down.
Oh, boy. Well,
so I don't know. How do you combat that?
I don't know. And then just throwing the social media element on top of that, where you see that she has, let's say, the 2 million followers.
Yeah.
You must feel so powerless. I mean.
Yeah. Well, mom has 2.5 million people thinking that she's correct and following all her advice. And now she's creating a business advising people how to be parents.
Right. Oh, my God.
So it's like.
Well.
But you were saying something about.
Yeah.
About that.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, just like we tell you on this podcast, spirituality, you're the medium.
Yes.
It comes from you.
Yeah.
You're the best source. It's the same thing with other things, like parenting. Like, you know, when we were first starting out as parents, we didn't know anything. What do we know?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows anything. But the best source is just you. Again, it's even if it's parenting or if it's your spirituality journey, it's you. I don't.
Yeah.
Get, and maybe this is a little off topic, but I don't get why someone would need to follow a parent, what do they call these, an influencer, right?
Yeah.
There's no reason for that. You have it in you. You could do it. Have the confidence.
Yeah.
I know our people do. Have the confidence to do it yourself. Learn from your mistakes. You know, I don't claim to be the best parent. I don't claim to be the worst parent. I probably made thousands of mistakes.
Sure.
I probably spoiled them way too much.
Oh, you're so funny.
Yeah,
my mistake is too nice.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe I don't. I don't know.
I know. I'm joking.
But no, there is no. But you know, the one thing that I never did was, maybe I should have. I don't know. I could be wrong too. You know, I don't know everything. is I did it on my own, you know, and with you. I didn't have to go to some wackadoo like this to try to get some advice.
Yeah, and I think if you are looking for something, it's got to be somebody who helps you be you.
Yeah.
So when I've gone for advice, it's been like to therapists, you know, like, hey, how can I myself handle this situation better at home?
Right.
You know, like, and it's somebody helping you be you, not somebody helping you be them.
Yeah.
You know, or do things their way. Same thing with spirituality. Like, you do it your way, you know, take what you like, leave the rest. But I think, but that's something that if you have, if you're not used to narcissists and you have that unaware empath thing, they can just scoop you in. You don't know.
Yeah.
Also, like, you know, it's just a YouTube channel. Like, you might not realize it's as serious as it is. Sometimes when you follow people, you might not really think about it so much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just watch them. I don't know. I never thought about it. Like, that's, and I, maybe that's something we all have to do a little bit more. Like, who am I?
Yeah.
Like, who is this? What is happening?
I mean, there's this account, you know, Petro Hanchar that, I mean, maybe has like 7 million followers at this time. I don't know why people are following that account. My own account, my what is it? What am I?
Scotty Ross 40.
Scotty Ross
40. You're always plugging it. You're always plugging it.
Okay, let's get a little funny here because this is too light. But
all right, is this overtime? Know Your Aura is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, my anxiety gets so bad that racing thoughts keep me up at night. I remember a couple years ago when we were going through whether my husband was going to quit his job and do this full time. I mean, I had racing thoughts all the time keeping me up. And therapy is a great place to talk those racing thoughts out, which is what I did. And they gave me a lot of context and tools, which I still use today when similar things happen and those racing thoughts get me right before I fall asleep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/KYA today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/KYA.
We'll just call overtime.
Overtime.
Okay. You know, I was looking at my social media the other day. Not the Petro Hanchar. He is an international sensation.
He is.
7 million followers across all platforms, maybe more. There's a lot of undocumented, listeners too.
Yeah.
Followers, yeah.
Yeah, he's a lot of streamers.
Yeah, a lot of streamers.
I don't know what that means.
He's huge on Twitch. Twitch.
You just pulled that out of God knows
And he's
what.
Big on Threads. Huge on Threads.
Oh, he's already big on Threads?
Yeah, he's like one of the biggest. He was actually, you know, like how it has your thread number on Instagram?
He's
like four. He's number four. Yeah, it says like four.
Oh, he was on top of that.
Yeah, Petro Hanchar on top of it. Red, purple. But yeah, okay. So I was looking at something here. All right. So this guy, and granted, I don't really go on to, I don't post on there too often.
Right.
Once in a while, I post
on
the store.
Scotty Ross 40.
Yeah, my Scotty Ross Instagram, Scotty Ross 40 on Instagram. And so sometimes I post a story with spelling mistakes or something like that. But, you know,
like a two-step joke.
Yeah, two-step joke that nobody gets. Or I post a picture of myself next to Justin Bieber looking like a clown or something like that. So I was noticing that. So I looked at your account. Does very well. And then I looked at the Know Your Aura account. So this is where it got me.
Okay.
So I looked at the Know Your Aura podcast.
Yeah, account. At Know Your Aura Pod.
And that had like triple the amount of followers that I have.
Follow you guys at Know Your Aura Pod. I never tell people to do that.
Yeah, but that's not my point.
Yeah, sorry.
So
this is my random plug.
Yeah, so Know Your Aura Pod, right? So I noticed, like, Know Your, wow, that count, like, I don't even go, I never look at that one, but I noticed, wow, it had quite a lot of people on it.
Yeah.
There. But then I looked at my account, and it had far less than that account.
I'm so sorry.
So so that, there must be something going on here, I'm thinking, like. Well, maybe just people, you know, maybe I'm bringing down the podcast.
What are you talking about? I post at Know Your Aura Pod.
This is the September blues.
Yeah, see, that's really annoying.
It's the blues.
First of all, at Know Your Pod, I am a consistent poster. That's one. Two, it is where I decided to put all the fun things to make for Aura stuff. Like, I don't care if they do well or not. It's just like, if I want to make it, it's like fun Aura stuff that maybe would have done way better in 2008. I put it up there and I'm like, yeah, so like that. So and I get real proud of myself and I practice all my Canva skills on there. And I think like the 10,900 followers I have, they appreciate it, you know, like they appreciate that I do that.
So what you're saying is my account, which has got like one post in the last year.
You don't post enough.
Two posts in the last year. I haven't followed. I don't think I've even followed anyone. I have friends. I don't even know if I follow my friends. Like, I don't even, you know, I forget to follow people.
You don't follow back.
I don't follow back. Yeah. I forget to follow back. Once
it's
in a while,
okay,
I'll check the DMs.
Yeah.
So you're saying that, yeah, it's kind of like I have an energy on that page of stay away.
No, I think your energy is like,
or I don't care.
Social media is stupid, yet I count on it.
Right.
So I think everybody feels the push and pull relationship you have with social media from there.
Right. So
like, you know.
So basically the process is a new listener comes on, they follow Know Your Aura, they follow your Mystic Michaela, they follow Petra Hunter, and then they get to my Scotty Russ 40 on Instagram.
Right.
And they're like,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
That's like a deep listener who's following all three of those. That's
so I'm a distant fourth year. The cat has an Instagram page that does better than I do.
Yeah, it does?
Yeah.
Dusty is here, by the way.
Yeah. Yep.
To speak from last week, he is sitting with us at the table, which I think is funny.
I mean, I try to, you know, even make the overtime funny, but the birthday blues, man. Just, they take over.
Oh, my God. We got you the best gifts this year. I'm so excited. So the kids and I, to combat your birthday blues, we just buy you gifts that we find funny.
Yeah.
And so we laugh hysterically as you open them because we could give you anything. Like, we could give you a Ferrari. Be like, oh, wrong color. So we learned a while ago not to be serious about your gifts. So we just get you, like, funny gifts that make us laugh.
Yeah. Like, what did I get last year? Last year I got a button-down short-sleeve shirt, which I never wear.
Well, the theme last year was preppy.
Preppy, yeah.
Like preppy aesthetic.
I wore the pink shirt. It was a pink shirt.
The year before was It's Fall, Y'all.
Yeah.
A basic, I got a basic fall.
Basic fall. What I got? I got a candle.
Yeah.
I got a sign.
No, we got you a decoration for the mantle.
Yeah,
and then we were like, oh, happy birthday. Do you unwrap it all? And then like us three decorated the house with the stuff we got you. my favorite birthday gift was when I try, and it's total like psychic. I have to know somehow what shirt you'll be wearing on your birthday, which is always a Target t-shirt.
Right.
And I try to get you the exact same Target plain t-shirt.
Yeah, that
and
happened.
Then you open it
yeah.
while you're wearing it.
Yes. That actually did happen last year. I had the green, like that aqua green color. And then I opened up my gift and there was a gap.
And just like the disappointment on your face. Because you're like, I have this shirt.
I think you guys try to see like if you could get the word like me to give a bad reaction.
It's funny. And then the cats give you a gift every year.
That's right.
Which are it's like a gift for them.
Yeah. Yeah, what'd they get? Yeah, something.
They got like catnip toys last year. Oh, a cat leash.
Oh, cat leash. They won't even go on that. No. We thought that would be good for Biggs, pink or pink blue Biggs, but
yeah.
He wouldn't even go on that.
That was Abby's idea.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, so
all right.
It's fun.
Birthday coming,
fun times.
Coming up.
Birthday coming up.
Can I should just do like a red rant on Vanderpump Rules or something to bring my spirits up.
You don't even watch the show.
I know, I just like to rant about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. You did a rant in the car the other day because like Bethany Frankel
had
Rachel/Raquel on her podcast and Bethany doesn't even like watch the show.
Right.
And you like you run red. You're like, I do the same thing for ratings, but you're like, listen, I do the same thing, but
that woman was clearly abusing this other woman. I mean, it was a clear abuse. Like Bethany Frankel was clearly abusing this lady. I didn't even listen to the podcast.
No,
didn't listen to 1 minute of it. But I know she was taking advantage
you're
of
like,
this,
you are
this person.
Her.
I know she's. I know people don't like that other person. I don't know anything about her, but yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
But you went on a whole red rant. You're like, I do the same thing, but still.
Yeah. But I. No, but I. But the difference.
You're like,
I would try to help
DMing
that.
Her.
I would. I would try to help that person with the seven last names.
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, I tell her, like,
yeah.
Listen, like,
yeah, we try to help her at least. But yes,
we have to get another caller, girl. Yeah. We have to figure that out.
We probably need to end this, but yeah, all right. Because I don't really get it. I just don't
this
get
it. Is this last part of the podcast is like the dot dot dot.
It's overtime.
It's
yeah,
just
it's overtime.
It just isn't ending.
Yeah, I just
oh, I guess it's not ending.
Yeah, no, I was telling the discussion group the other day. I just don't get this Vanderpump. They were waitresses, right? And then they were all like they got famous for cheating on each other.
Yeah,
but like I was just saying, like this, it's so
in two sentences. Yeah,
yeah, like one cheated on the other one with the other one, and that's the end of the thing. But like I was saying, like you go to any Applebee's. You go to any Red Lobster across the country. You go to any Chili's.
Yeah.
This is happening.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Any restaurant in South Florida. This is happening.
It was happening at Domino's.
Yeah, Domino's is what happening. Yeah. When I worked at Domino's. Like, this is not, like, interesting. This is,
maybe that's why it is interesting.
No, it's not. It's so mundane and boring.
No, maybe that's why it is good.
Really? Because it's so boring?
I've never watched it from beginning to end. But the people who have, and I've read, like, articles about this, they say it's art. Well, they say it is art.
No, they do.
They say this is art. And if you watch it from day one to now, you also would be like, okay, I get it.
I don't get it. Because you're saying that this is so commonplace and so mundane and so boring.
It's just so real. It's like they're so completely themselves, I think, forever. I don't even know.
Because I can't
speak to it because I've only seen some of it.
So is what you're saying is like if I work at, let's say, a Chili's in Billings, Montana, and this is happening there too, like with the cheating, whatever.
Yeah.
They're finding themselves in these characters, like the guy that looks like the village people. And
yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah. I think people definitely find themselves in these characters. You know how you said that guy's like the village people? Do you know Tom Sandoval? Do you know that he is a singer?
No.
Which I think is weird.
He looked like
isn't
a guy
that
from
weird?
The village people.
I think that was like a psychic thing because you would saw me. He looks like the village. And he is a singer and he gets like...
Oh.
He does like really weird things on stage and stuff, just randomly.
Oh, okay.
Tell you
no,
that.
I just thought he was one. I thought he actually was in a cover band for the Village People, and that's why he looked like that.
Yeah, close.
But anyway, all right.
Anywho,
I find it mundane and boring. You know, I like things that are like unique, and that to me is just not unique. It's happening everywhere.
Yeah, you like a Prime documentary on the drive-ins.
Yes, yeah, like something like that would be much more up my alley.
Which exists.
It does.
And you can watch it too.
Right. I think we gotta
okay, this podcast is for you and about you, and we're so glad you spent some time with us today.